a pitcher, a ceremonial pitcher, and he poured the water out, and that's when he said this particular verse. And so, and it says there in verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. That's indicative of the fact that God wants to put so much of his presence inside of you that when you do leak, and we're supposed to leak, I told you that last week, right? That it's supposed to, you're supposed to get other people wet. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
You're supposed to get other people wet with what? The Spirit of God. Now, if you're not sitting on the front row, it's because you don't want me spitting on you. All right? That's a different kind of wet. But we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit because God designed this relationship that we are supposed to leak. We're supposed to spill out on the world. If you're worried about the carpet, it's only water.
Okay.
I want to tell you, water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We are baptized in water.
Yes.
Water is a symbol of the fact that water is life-giving. Wherever it flows, it's life-giving. And when water flows freely, when it flows freely, it changes the landscape. I've personally never been to the Grand Canyon, but I'm told that if you go to the Grand Canyon, it's a river that made the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
That water cut through rock, and it changed the makeup of the surroundings. Now, I want you to get a picture right now, and I believe this is the Holy Spirit downloading this, that you, allowing the Holy Spirit to flow out of you, will cut through obstacles that seem impossible. And will change the physical environment that you find yourself in. Out of your belly shall flow rivers, not river, not stream, not creek, not, you know, dried up drainage ditch. See, rivers have always fascinated me. I grew up in Florida. We didn't have rivers. I mean, they have them, but they're slow and shallow and muddy, and they don't flow. You know what I mean? And so in order for us to go see like water that flowed, I remember as a little boy, we'd have to go up to the Smoky Mountains in North Carolina and or Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and go and see the creeks. And as a little boy, I would literally stare at those rocks and that running water because it fascinated me. Mm-hmm. Running water, running out of you, out of your belly, flows rivers of living water. That's why when I expressed this last week, or maybe it was the week before, when I talked about how some folks, they're content just to accept the gospel, receive Jesus, get born again, and they're content to do that. But I believe God really is calling his church today to be givers of living water so that we are not the dry Christian that's just always looking for something from God, but we are actually the ones who are used by God to change the landscape by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do that? Well, one of the things we talked about in this entire series is how in the world did 12 men change the world and turn the world upside down? Our key verse was out of Acts chapter 17, where the officials of the city got so upset because wherever there was Paul went, there was a riot or revival. Mm-hmm. I mean, people don't always like rivers of living water flowing through their town. They don't always take kindly to it because it disrupts the order of things, right? And it just moves things. It'll move boulders out of the way, And some people might have wanted those boulders to be there. And the thing is, when water starts to flow, there's not much that can stop it. You know, I look around at these beautiful reservoirs that we live in the area of, these beautiful reservoirs and lakes. And then if you've ever driven by some of the dams, the Kensico Dam and all of the different dams around here, that's holding that water back. But can you imagine if that water began to flow again? Wow. I live right near one of those, like, I guess you'd call it a channel thing that they control the water flow. And it's, you know, I don't know the exact term. I don't know if it's a lock. I have no idea. But they control the water flow, and it's a great trout fishing spot right there in Brewster. And all the trout fishermen go because they open up the floodgate, and that water begins to flow, and life comes through that flow. You know, the trout fishermen, they're just always, during trout season, they're out there and they're waders, you know, and just out there fishing. Why? Because where the water flows, there is life. Where the water flows, there's healing. Where the water flows, there's, and we heard that word today in the worship time, restoration. Where the water flows, you know, a lot of times these great roads that go down to New York City, they were built on riverbeds. They're roads built on a riverbed, Averill. You saw a road. You know, well, sometimes they build those roads on top of where that water flowed, because it was a natural channel, if you will. God wants to use us to turn our world upside down in such a way. You say, well, how am I going to do that, Pastor? I'm just one person. I'm retired, or you know, I'm getting ready to retire. What am I going to do? Well, I want us to go and see what the Apostle Paul said when it came to praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. Now, that sometimes freaks people out. I said this a couple weeks ago. You know, you might be content to be born again and that's it. You don't want any further experience with God, but God wants us to go a little bit deeper. And when we find out that the Spirit of God, the gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit that's mentioned in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that promise is a promise of power. It's not just a promise of, oh, I'm going to get to heaven. It's a promise of power. It's a promise to power through things that come against you in your life. It's going to help you overcome obstacles. You know, Jesus never promised us a trouble-free life. In fact, he said, you will have trouble in this world. You know, sometimes people, they label faith preachers like myself. They say, oh, you're just one of those name it and claim it people. And you just think that once you become a Christian and fill with the Holy Ghost that you don't have any problems. That's not true. That's not true. In fact, most of the people that I know that are faith preachers don't preach that, because that's nonsense. What they do preach is that when you come up against that mountain, you speak to it, according to Mark chapter 11. You speak to the mountain, and it will remove. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to go there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm so appreciative of our young people that are in the back there. They're kind of keeping up with me this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In talking about spiritual gifts were very much a part of the early church. What we experience today, the pictures that we saw, Pastor Christine, you know, you were so right on the money when you kind of sensed that we were supposed to stop. You know, we were supposed to stop and see what God was saying. Because a lot of times, we just kind of power through what we think we're supposed to do. You know? And I believe we're in a time that we can't just do that. We've got to take the time to listen. We've got to take the time to listen. Because, you know, we're kind of like that guy who went on his first date and he does all the talking, doesn't let the girl date or talk at all, right? And then he goes off and he goes, oh, yeah, I thought that was real good. And then he asks her out again and she says, no. Why? Well, you didn't talk to me. You did all the talking, right? You see, I think a conversation with God is a lot like a relationship. Is that we need to have a two-way communication. And let's look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the Apostle Paul gives us some wonderful instructions. And they're true. Just as much as they were true 2,000 years ago, they're true today. There are people who will tell you that the gifts ceased and that they no longer exist. I have a real hard time finding that in church history. I have a real hard time finding that in Scripture. Because if all Scripture is given by God, profitable for us to become better Christians, to become more mature, then why in the world would God leave this in the Bible for us? And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay, that means speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, he goes on to say in verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue, listen to this, does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, divine mysteries. Divine mysteries is what the Greek connotation there is, divine mysteries. God wants to speak to you and me in divine mysteries. And if we would step out and begin to pray in other tongues, in our prayer time, in our prayer closet, God would begin to show you things. He'll begin to show you things. Sometimes he'll even interpret what you prayed. You say, really? Well, let's read on. Verse 3, he says this, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Okay, edification has to do with building up somebody. We've been talking a lot about encouragement, right? Then he goes on to say, listen what verse 4 says. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies what?
The church.
Now, we have corporately prayed today, and many of us were praying in other tongues, maybe before service, and we were stirring up the gift of God, as the Apostle Paul talks about. But, you know, sometimes there's a gift of a tongue, and we're going to see that needs to be interpreted. That needs to be interpreted. But when it comes to our private prayer time, our private prayer language, some have called it, that is a time where you get in with God and you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And you get in with Him and you pray out the mystery of God. God might begin to give you a picture. You might not know what it means. And I'm going to use a couple of personal illustrations. I'm not going to get too deep in that. But I am going to just tell you this, that even when this church started, it was a season of praying in other tongues, saying, God, what do you want me to do? It was a surrender. And I heard that kind of phrase coming up today, that there was a surrender, right, Iris? There was a posture of surrender. There was a what? Some people use the word consecration. Consecration means I'm setting this apart for God. That's what consecrate means. It's a very fancy word, but it means, listen, I'm yours, Lord. What do you want me to do? So I had an assignment over in a church in Connecticut, and my assignment was finishing, and I was praying. And I said, Lord, what's next? What's next? What's next? I know that assignment's finishing. That assignment is coming to an end. You know, God will give you assignments, and they will come to an end. And there might be another one. There might be another one. There might be another one. And so I was praying during that season of prayer. That's when God literally woke me up in the middle of the night, and I began to write Westchester Family Church, Mount Kisco, New York. I began to see the pictures come into place. Same timeless message, a different kind of church. That was kind of the initial thing that I got from God. Same timeless message, a different kind of church. And part of that was because of the different kinds of, there wasn't any type of church like this in this area. And so that's why God began to deal with me. And somebody, and I'm looking around, and we, you know, Vanjie actually was one of the first people to come here. Vanjie was one of the first visitors of this church. Marcia, Vanjie, and Angelica, and Cletus, they were some of the first people to ever come, other than family. You know, Dad, you know, he's up here playing bass, praise God. And he was playing guitar, you know, and we started out just in a little living room. What was that? It was after a season of doing this, praying the mystery out, praying the mystery out. And God began to bring people to help us. And perhaps, you know, you're here and God's brought you to help us. You know, and over the course of time, he's brought people. He's brought people in. Some people have driven a long way. I think about the Jacksons. I think about Brother Adam. They drive a long way. They're here first, and sometimes they're here last. Miss Marcia, she moved further away from here, but she still comes here. You know, what is that? That's God drawing somebody to an assignment. And so I was praying at the end of that assignment. God dropped in my heart, Westchester Family Church, and 20 years later, we're still here. We're still doing that assignment. And so I want to encourage you, God sometimes will give you an inkling of what it is. Sometimes he'll give you the whole detail. Sometimes he'll give you just a little, like, this is what I'm supposed to do. If we'll start with the little things, call that person, encourage that person, write a note to that person, invite this person to church, take them out for coffee. You hear what I'm saying? Those impressions, as you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you might not know what in the world I'm praying for. There was a time that my roommate in college, he didn't speak any English at all. He really did not. And he had come here from Puerto Rico, and he was my roommate in college. We didn't know each other. First day, we were playing charades with each other in the room. What's this? What's that? You know? And I'm asking him questions. He doesn't understand me. I don't understand him. We laughed. We started laughing with each other. And about 3 months into being his roommate, he was totally on fire for God. He loved the Lord Jesus with all his heart. He was an athlete. He was a baseball player. And he was a lot taller, a lot bigger than me. And one day we woke up on a Saturday. He says, and in his English, he said, "Brother." I said, yeah, Bob, what? And he says, "You woke me up last night, man." I said, "What do you mean I woke you up?" He goes, "Oh, man." He says, "You started praying in tongues in your sleep."
Praise God.
He says, "So I just got down on my knees and started praying in tongues with you." I don't remember. But he just got down because he came from a Pentecostal tradition. And he just was like, "I'm going to get down on my knees. I'm just going to start praying in tongues." And he says, "And as soon as you stopped, I went back to sleep." You know, and what? God supernaturally wants to deal with his people. He's a supernatural God. Is this not a dead religion that you just go through the motions and just have head knowledge about things? You can't intellectually figure this all out. You can't. You can't. In fact, your mind will get in the way of a lot of things. Your mind will get in the way. And so we continue on in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says in verse 4, he says, "He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Verse 5, I want you to see this. This is the Apostle Paul. He was not one of the original 12. He was not in the upper room. He did not experience the day of Pentecost. Do you hear me? But notice what he says in verse 5. "I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, I come to you speaking in tongues. What shall I profit unless I speak to you either by revelation knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching, even things without life, whether flute or harp. They make a sound unless they make a distinction in the sounds. How will it be known what is piped or played? And he goes on to talk about that whole idea of speaking in tongues, that it should be interpreted if it is a message. But in your private time, God has an assignment for you. And if you don't know it yet, get in your prayer closet, begin to stir up the gift of God, and begin to pray in other tongues. If nobody ever hears you, except for God, you are building yourself up. I just came across a recent article when somebody was talking, and I guess it's been in the last 20 years or so, the New York Times actually wrote an article about a study that was done in Canada about people speaking in other tongues.
Wow.
And you know what was interesting? This was done by scientists. This was not done by religious people. They said that the brain cortex, they took pictures of the brain cortex, and that in actuality, when somebody is praying in other tongues, that the intellect part of their brain is at rest. The language center of the brain, where language is stored, is at rest. But that there is the sense of emotional peace comes to the forefront. There is some kind of supernatural thing that God has done. And we know if you've been around us long enough, you know, we believe in speaking in other tongues. Why? Well, because it builds you up. It's, you know, I said that when the disciples were told to go wait in the upper room for the promise of the Father, they were already born again. Am I right, Reverend Ennis?
Yes.
They were already born again. Jesus, when he appeared to them and walked through the wall, the resurrected Jesus, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Yet he still told them to go wait for the promise from my Father, which is, go wait. Go wait. Now, some Pentecostal groups, they've gotten into waiting. Well, we just got to wait. We just got to wait. Well, in Acts chapter 19, let's just go over there real quick. In Acts chapter 19, we see something really interesting. In Acts chapter 19, we see that the apostles, the early church, if you're reading the book of Acts and acting like this all happened a week after the day of Pentecost, or a week after Jesus ascended into heaven, the studies show us that Acts chapter 19, when we see that in verse 1, let's see here. Yeah, in verse 1, when Paul is in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19 is almost 20 years after the day of Pentecost.
Wow.
20 years after the day of Pentecost. The gospel is being spread. Acts chapter 17 is around 15 years when they are told, basically of 15 to 18 years, they're told these are who have turned the world upside down. For 20 years, the disciples have been going around, and what have they been doing? They've been spilling water out on people. And we went to Ephesians chapter 5. It's changing the landscape. It's changing things so that in Acts chapter 17, they said, these are those who've been turning the world upside down and now they've come here. They've been seeing the rivers of living water cut through rock, religious junk, and man's traditions. And life is springing forth in the early church. And then in Acts chapter 19, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Listen to what happened. He found some disciples. He found some believers. Why? Because this message is flowing. This message is changing the dynamic. It's changing the atmosphere. It's changing the region. And this message has gotten a hold of people, and it says they found disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we've not so much as heard as whether there is a Holy Spirit. In other words, they believed the gospel, but they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now notice what happened. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism, a baptism of repentance. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And listen, look at verse 6. And when Paul laid his hands on them, now the Holy Spirit came upon them. And what happened? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, the men were about 12 in all. And when they went into the synagogue, they spoke what? Boldly. There's a boldness that comes on you. We talked about that with Peter's transformation early on in this series. And it says they spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And it says, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them, withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Hallelujah. Now, you keep going in this chapter. The book of Acts is an amazing book. It covers about 30 years of ministry. 30, not 30 weeks and not 30 days. 30 years of ministry. If you want to know if the power of the Holy Spirit is for the church today, look at it in the context of the fact that 30 years after Pentecost, there's still signs, miracles, wonders. And all the disciples, they're not even around. Some of them are not even around. What's the focus? The focus is on the Holy Spirit and the miracles that are being done. And I believe that same truth is for you. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have received that gift of being able to speak in other tongues, I want to just challenge you this week to pray out the mystery of the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray out that next assignment for your life. Begin to pray out the mysteries that God has for this church, because there are mysteries that he has for this church that I don't know naturally speaking. But I do know this in my heart, that God is not finished with this church. And what he wants to do, he is wanting to move us in a direction that relies on him totally, that we rely on him. That we don't, and we heard that word in the pre-service prayer today. If you haven't had a chance to try to get to pre-service prayer, it's usually not very long. And we usually try to get into prayer by 10:15, 10:30. 10:15 would be the ideal, but a lot of times we're not ready with sound and setting up and those kind of things. But we really want to pray to set the atmosphere so that God will do what he wants to do, that he will speak and do things like he did today, because it will bring great encouragement and it will edify. The word edify means to charge up, to build up, so that when you leave this place, you are able to spill out the Holy Spirit, the rivers of living water, on other people. And I mean, I'm telling you, there is nothing like being used of God in that way. You feel like a superhero. Instead of the dry, oh, give me, Lord, you're going to say, what's going on? Such, and we talked about this last week, such as I have, I give you. The coworker who's depressed. The family member who's sick. The neighbor who needs encouragement. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? That's the kind of Holy Spirit transformation God wants for each one of us. You will allow that river of living water to flow through you. You will spill out. And that's why Ephesians chapter 5 says, get filled back up again. There's one initial filling of the Holy Spirit. There's many refillings. There's many times where you just get refilled back in the presence of God. And I believe that that's what God wants to do with us. Refill. refill, renew, recharge what God has put in you. Stir up that gift. Stir it up. And that's what we want to do today. Praise God. So we're going to go ahead and pray. I believe I've given what I'm supposed to give today. Next week, come expecting. I'm going to be ministering on the Holy Spirit. We're believing God that if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled today. You don't have to wait until next week. You can be filled today. You can be filled in the privacy and the comfort of your own home. If you're watching online, you can be filled right where you are in your seat. Nobody has to embarrass you. Nobody has to coach you or try to force something that's not happening. If you're thirsty, he said in John chapter 7, in verse 37, if you're thirsty, he'll give you rivers of living water. If you're thirsty to go further and deeper with God, I believe that he will meet you right where you're at right now. So right now, we're just going to bow our heads. Father, I've given what I believe you've given me, and that is a message to be filled and to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would minister great grace right now to your people, those who are watching online and those that are right here in this place. Father, I ask for a refilling for each person. Father, if some have never been filled with power from on high, God, I pray that the mental blocks, the arguments they've had in their head on whether or not this is real, whether or not they made it up, whether or not it's for today, Father, I pray that those arguments would be demolished and give an experience to your people that lines up with your word. Father, I pray that just as you said in your word, that if anyone asks for a fish, you're not going to give them a snake. And Lord, I pray, God, that as they asked to be filled with power from on high, God, I pray that you would just meet them in that thirsty place, in that place where they find you in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I believe I'm talking to believers in here mostly. And if you're here today and you say, I need to be filled. I've never experienced praying or speaking with other tongues, but I know that God wants me to go deeper with him. And that's one step that I'm supposed to do right now. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to just know so I can pray for you. Is there anybody right here in this audience right now? You'd say, that's me. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Any children or youth that want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, praise God. He is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything that you do not give him permission to do. And if that's you, just raise your hand. All right. Let's pray together right now. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, I want you just to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. And let's just pray right now. And I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And if you're here or you're listening and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to pray this simple prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I come to you. I believe in my heart that this promise is for me. And I receive the Holy Spirit coming upon me in power. And now I stir up that gift in the name of Jesus. I receive it. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father God. Lord, that you would stir us up, that you would refresh, renew, and revitalize each one in this place and those that are watching online. If you're watching and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that all we have to do is, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, is to believe in our heart that he is the Lord Jesus, that he died for our sins, and that he was raised from the dead, and make him your Lord. That means make him the number one in your life. And if you'll do that, God will meet you and you will be born again. If you have been away from God, if you will do that, just say, Father, I come to you and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. And I call Jesus my Lord, and I receive his forgiveness. in Jesus' name. If you did that, if you prayed that simple prayer with me, something like that, that's got those elements of believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, God will meet you. Please let us know on the Facebook Messenger app so we can send you some things. If you prayed that prayer to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to be available just to pray with people. You want to come up, you want to be prayed to be refilled, you want to be prayed to get a release in that prayer language, I'm going to be available. I'm going to ask that that as we close out, that you would just give respect for the time that people might need ministry up here. And you can take your fellowship in the foyer, but people may need some extra prayer. But let's stand our feet right now, and let's speak our sending out verse over the church, over our lives, over our families right now. And it says this: the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you.